Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. We have a lot to get into because why? Brian Daboll and Gus Bradley were introduced to the Titans media on Wednesday. A lot to get into about that. We'll do a segment on each of them. We got Run TMC with Chris Sanders. I want to kind of get his experience and have him share stories of the installation process when he was with the Titans back in the day. That'd be a good combo. We got Connor Newt over here making it happen
yes,
as well.
Sir.
Yeah, yeah. So, for starters, you know, the biggest question, Robert Saleh got the job, and the biggest question was, okay, what are you going to do for Cam Ward? And he said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for Cam Ward. I'm going to get him an OC that has worked with some young quarterbacks, developed them, most notably Josh Allen. And he said, Brian Daboll, come on down. And I think when you look at Brian Daboll and the offense, it is as – Saleh said, different from the typical West Coast Kyle Shanahan type of offense, you know, rooting back to Gary Kubiak and to Shanahan's father, to Mike Shanahan and those old 49ers teams. You see the backs getting used out of the backfield, catching the ball. A whole lot of short passes, a lot of stretch and play action off of that wide zone, a type of run concept. And Saleh said, as a defensive coordinator, it's different when you go against Daboll's offense because that offense is unique.
Yeah.
That really stood out to me. And then when Daboll was asked about that, you know, he talked about some of the different concepts. He talked about the motions and just the window dressing. And he said, you know, everybody runs pretty much the same play. It just comes down to the window dressing, which is right to an extent. But you got to be able to layer those plays. And you got to be able to know when to call those plays. And Connor, I say all that to say the best point that he made in the whole press conference was when I asked him about Josh Allen, right? Josh Allen, they came in together in 2018, mediocre year, 2019, a little elevation. Then year three, 2020, the number two scoring offense, Josh Allen passed for a career high 4,544 yards. So I had to ask him, like, what happened? Like, what can you take from that and apply to Cam Ward? And while each quarterback is different, and that's a point that he made sure to emphasize, he said the biggest thing was seeing the game through the eyes of the quarterback.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to sit down and communicate and form a relationship and understand how the quarterback sees the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a pretty profound point, huh?
Yeah, I think it's prioritizing the player's needs before the coach's needs. And I think that's what makes Brian Daboll such a dynamic quarterback developer in this league. And he's proven that time and time again with his time in the Patriots, his time in the Bills organization. And you could see some of the elements reflecting through Jackson Dart in his time with the Giants. Obviously, we know how that one ended. But if you're a Titans fan, I feel you should be excited about what he can do for Cam Ward. Because just the way he explained it, I think it was Paul Garcia that asked the question. What I think it was something about identity in the offense, and obviously he asked him, you know, what's your definition of identity? But ultimately, it boiled down to Brian Daboll saying, "We have to be able to run the ball well when the defense knows we're about to run the ball, and pass the ball well when the defense knows we're about to pass the ball." So, I think I'm excited about that fact because it shows that he's self-aware. He knows what's going to happen, what goes on here. And that's kind of what I thought the coaching staff last year for the Titans lacked a little bit, was self-awareness. It was kind of getting stuck in the same pattern and stuck in their own ways. I don't feel that's going to be a problem on paper right now, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's the introductory press conference, and as you and I talked about with Robert Saleh, it's pretty much impossible to lose the introductory press conference. But I feel good about it. I feel good about a revitalization of the Titans offense, and I'm excited to see how this thing goes.
Yeah, and I think when you look at this whole deal, the Brian Daboll-Cam Ward relationship, that's the catalyst to everything. nothing is going to go right if that doesn't go right. And the thing that is pretty outstanding about this is like Dable understands the mission, right?
Mm-hmm.
He understands that his job is all about developing Ward. And he said, actually, Cam Ward ultimately was a big factor in his decision to come to the Titans. And he said he had a lot of confidence in him. I really, if I'm looking at this from a Titans perspective, I like the fact that the homework has more or less been done already.
Right.
Right? Because they had the top 30 visit. They met in Miami. They met at the scene, the combine. These are all things that happen. Dable has watched. He's not coming in. He's hitting the ground running, basically just picking up on the work that they did leading up to the draft last year. Because after all, this team wanted to trade up to select Ward.
Yeah.
And they were going to offer an abundance of picks.
That's what intrigues me, is that Dable coming into this job already had interest in Cam Ward because of the year prior.
Mm-hmm.
We know the story there. They wanted to trade up and take Cam Ward. So I'm curious, and someone asked about it too. How does the plan go from here? Is he going to integrate the same plan he was going to integrate for Cam Ward if they would have drafted him? I think that's something to look out for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm frustrated because I didn't ask the question. I completely forgot. But I wanted to ask him because you go back to the Bills days, QB power, QB sweep. They're doing all those things with Josh Allen. Then you look at last year with Jackson Dart. I mean, they ran Dart an awful lot. And then you look at the season-ending injury that Cam Ward had on the read option. And look, man, again, the end crashes, you got to pull it and you got to run. And I don't dislike the play call at all, but I'm just curious how much running with the quarterback Dable is going to do. And I'm curious what his thoughts were leading up to the draft, you know, and how he imagined that. But nevertheless, he's super excited to work with Cam Ward, and I get that. In fact, here's what he had to say when asked about the excitement level to work with Cam.
Jill Jelnick, Fox 17 Sports.
One more time.
Jill Jelnick, Fox 17 okay. Sports. Nice to meet you, Coach.
You as well.
Piggyback on your conversation with Cam, you mentioned you've seen him gain confidence. What specifically about his style of play, athleticism, and skill set excites you the most when it comes to building the offense around him?
Yeah, well, we got a lot of work to do with everybody. But again, he's a young, athletic quarterback who has accuracy, who can make plays on the move. He can do a great job of, you know, the play doesn't look great, and then all of a sudden it looks great because of his ability. He's smart. You know, I look forward to communicating with him and building this thing together, along with the other pieces that we have in play and the pieces that we'll go get. But it'll be a collective deal. This is obviously a big piece to quarterback. I understand why you're asking it, but it's someone that I look forward to working with.
So it tells you right there, right? Young athletic quarterback, the accuracy, which I thought was interesting because accuracy was a huge area for improvement with Josh Allen, and it got better. And that's the rare instance. Usually accuracy doesn't improve for a quarterback once they get to the league. However, that's where it is. And you know, you go back and you look at what he's seen, right, as far as mechanics and things are concerned, having watched Ward at Washington State and Miami, you know, the McKay, I asked him about that. Like, where are you? Because obviously the previous staff, they wanted some things done about his mechanics and footwork, et cetera. And he said, I've watched him. I'm happy with how he throws the football, his athleticism. Everybody has different ways of taking their drops, but I'm excited to work with them.
Yeah.
So it tells me, okay, I don't know that there's going to be as much of an emphasis on the mechanics, frankly. And I think when you look at the emphasis on RPOs and those things, the way Ward is able to find those different like off-platform opportunities to throw the football, I think that's kind of ideal for that. So that's going to be something to watch, obviously. Ward, you know, he said that he was going to work on his footwork. In fact, here's Cam at the season-ending presser. This is what he had to say when asked about the injury impacting his off-season work.
How much does it push that back?
It doesn't push it back at all. I'm working on my base, on my mechanics. I'm not changing my throwing motion. So, you know, a timetable for, you know, how about what I have said to get to McCaffrey, what I need to do is still, you know, on schedule.
So he says it, right? I'm not throwing the football. Like, I'm just working on the footwork. So that lets you know where he is from that perspective. Each situation, though, is unique. So we'll see how this continues to play out. But I think Brian Daboll, he got off on a good foot. And I think, you know, he set a good example of how he's going to look at things, right? And I think it was Corey Curtis had asked, he said, you know, you said that you talked with the GM. You said there were a few other things. He was like, that sounds a lot like a head coach. And I think this is Robert Saleh making a good hire and bringing in guys who are going to approach things with a head coach mindset. And that's only going to help him as long as each of these guys, and we'll get into Gus Bradley a little bit later, but as long as each of these guys are able to check their ego and understand that, hey, there's a collective goal. And that collective goal is to have this team win a championship, right? And overall, that's every team's goal. But it's just a matter of how are they going to come together to do it. And I think when you look at both sides of the football and then you mix in the special teams group with John Fossil, this is definitely going to be something that is going to be fun to watch. We'll see what the success level is. But, hey, the relationship is already there. This man sat down and had dinner with Ward's family. The relationship is there. I think it just has to continue to be cultivated, and then they get on the same page. And then as you get into the install process, because he said, I can't wait till April to do the different things that they got to do to get stuff right. Now, obviously, there's going to be some communication, some learning the playbook before then, but it's a relationship that I think is going to be one to watch. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. I want to kind of expand on this and get into the installation process with Chris Sanders and Run TMC. We'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
All right, lights dim, the music fades. Where are we going? And now, starting a power forward for your Seattle Supersonics. Out of Concord High School, number 40, Sean Kemp.
Oh, man. I was going to use that one, man. And now, the heavyweight champion of the world, Leon Spinks.
Leon Spinks is hilarious, man. Oh, ring king looking dude.
First of all, man, you know I'm mad at you. You already. I was actually going to use Kemp on today, so I'm actually mad at you, brother. That's we going to start the show off with me mad at you.
Oh, well, hey. Tell him why you miss. Sanders is mad. He's mad.
I'm mad.
That's hilarious, man. Well,
what's going on with you, boss?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. Just the rigors of the privilege. Don't get it twisted. It's a privilege, but there's also it's also rigorous, man. A day in the life of a Titans reporter when there's two press conferences and videos and podcasts and stories to write. Yeah. I love it, man, because it kind of like pushes me to be productive, man. I love that.
Yeah.
So I'm not complaining, but it's just, woo.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Getting stretched in a lot of directions. But we are here. As is Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll spoke on Wednesday to us for the first time. And there were some things that I really liked. He talked about seeing the game through the eyes of a quarterback. He said that was the key the key part of his ability to just work with Josh Allen and get him to, yeah. to that explosion in year three. When you yeah. hear that, I said a Ooh. Bit what I feel about that in the opening segment. But when you hear that, like, what do you think when you hear a coordinator say that?
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Before you can ever correct or tell them anything about the page, you got to connect. What the heck does that mean? That means I got to build a relationship with my quarterback. I got to understand what makes him feel good. I got to understand what makes him tick. I got to understand what he does well and what he doesn't do well. Because a lot of times we as coaches, we look at it through the eyes of what we do. What would we do? But what we need to do, we need to look at it through the eyes of what the quarterback does. What does Josh Allen do? He reads coverages, and when something breaks down, he uses his feet and run. So if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm going to look through the eyes of my quarterback and say, okay, tell me your best five plays. What are your best six plays? What are your best seven plays? When it's third and five, what are you looking at? What do you like? So now, as opposed to, yeah, you're installing your offense, but you're basing it around your quarterback or what he does well, as opposed to what the system thinks he needs to do well.
That, ladies and gentlemen, Ooh. Is coaching, right? That's coaching, right? You don't take a square and try to shove it into a there circle you hole. You put the circle in the circle, square in the square. And you yep. said something that it almost makes me think that you had a conversation with Brian Daboll, because he said the exact same thing, the relationship.
Wow.
You have to establish a relationship first. And I think that's the key part of it. And he said it's easy to sit back and say, yo, what the heck were you doing? You know what I mean? But until you go through the film and iron it out and know the details, you can't really know how to correct it, because you don't know what the quarterback's seeing. So that's a great point.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is sometimes, you know, you got to sit there. Yeah, you watch film together, you do all these things, but sometimes it's just get away from football and get to know the person. I know this sounds cliche and corny, but I got to get to know what makes you tick. I got to understand, you know, where's your confidence lie? And I'm going to give you a perfect example. Look at the Super Bowl. You got Mike Vrabel. His quarterback is playing terrible. I mean, he's playing terrible. But as he's laying on the ground, he said, hey, get up. Just tell me what you like, but just keep fighting. But as opposed to cussing him out, yelling him out, he's trying to figure out a way to build his confidence back so he can get back in the game. And as an offensive coordinator or head coach, I have to figure out what makes my guy tick, what makes me fill this guy with confidence, and build on what he needs to do.
Right. And you also got to know where his comfort zone is and
Come
his
on,
uncomfort
man.
Zone is. You know what I mean? What makes him uncomfortable and those types of things, to try to avoid those looks. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
And obviously – right now, they're early in the process, right? They dated a bit last year, because we all know that the Giants had a lot of interest in Ward, and they were going to move up to get him. Brian Daboll had dinner as the head coach. He had dinner with the Ward family. He, you know, they had a 30, all of that stuff.
Right.
But the relationship is being built now, and then they're going to start the installation process at some point. From your experience, like, go ahead and outline, like, what is that process like, learning an offense and installing it and all that good stuff?
Okay, number one, let's just take building a house, number one. First of all, you don't just start building a house and putting glasses and, you know, stuff in the house if you ain't laid the foundation. What's the foundation? The foundation we talked about is a relationship. But then you get into the installation process. It's not that you're throwing the whole book at them. What you want to do is, first of all, you just got to get guys lined up. Okay, you're going to be Z, you're going to be B, you're going to be the Y, and just understand the personnel package. And once you understand the personnel package, now you start adding concept. If you want the inside zone, outside zone, you know, the route tree, all those things that you want, then now you start implementing into that. And the thing about it is, when you're in the off season, it's not that you're throwing the whole book with them. You're just explaining step by step by step. Okay, if you're the Y, I need you to do this. If you're the X, I need you to do this. But it starts with just learning how to line up, learning what I expect from my receiver coach, because you got a lot of coaches that are coming into the Titans facility now that a lot of players don't know. So I got to feel out my coach. Okay, coach, what do you want on this route? Where do you want me to line up? Where's my split? When I'm in a 2x2, where do I need to be? So that's just the foundation that you need to build. And then later on down the road, now you start adding stuff as the season goes.
You said something else that stood out to me, and you talked about the coaches. And here's the thing, and Robert Saleh made a really good point in his introductory presser, because he talked about the coaches being charged with developing the players. And he was like, well, who's charged with developing the coaches? And I think, it was one of those moments where you kind of blink your eye, you turn your head to the side, you blink your eye, and you're like,
wow.
That's a good point. You know, so when you look at that as far as the coaching staff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got Greg Lewis coming from Baltimore via Kansas City. You got Randy Jordan who was here. You got, you know, White Cotton who was with the Giants, with Dable. You got, you know, there's so many different Shea Tierney who was with the Giants. There's so many different – it's a melting pot.
Yep.
How have you seen that process kind of work as far as, like, a group of guys, even in your own personal experience, working at Montgomery Bell, you know, everybody came together. Like, how do coaches start to get on the same page?
I'm so glad you asked me that, because the thing about it is we have on our coaching staff, we have a lot of guys with a lot of great knowledge. But here's what we do is what we do before we come in the building, we check our ego at the door and say, okay, coach, what do you want me to do? How can I make the player better? Let me give you a perfect example. This is why I get so excited. We're playing a team in the playoffs, right? And I know my head coach, at the end of the day, he makes the final decision. But he comes to me, he said, Chris, hey, what do you think we should run on this play? Hey, what do you think? What are you looking at? And this is punch time. This is where the game is on the line. If we don't make a touchdown, we're out of the playoffs. I said, coach, run a squirrel route. A squirrel route is faking a slant and pivoting back out. And the reason why I called that play is going to play before on a fourth down, we ran a slant. So the DB's thinking slant. Mm-hmm. So when I run a slant, pivot out. He said, Chris, what do you want me to run? Okay. And he ran it, and we scored a touchdown. And the reason why I share that story is he was willing to learn. And when you got a lot of coaches that come from great pedigrees, that are great teachers, that are great developers, you got to be willing to learn from other coaches. That's how it's going to work. You got guys with a lot of experience, a lot of guys that, you know, had head coaching experience. Now I go from being a head coach to the offensive coordinator. Now how do I handle it? Do I say, oh, I'm it's my way or no way? But you say, you know what, coach, I know you're the head coach, but let me help you in this area so we both win, not just the offensive coordinator.
That's a great point. And checking the egos, that's the critical part of it, right? Becoming a team and being willing to learn from each other. I'm just curious how this one's going to work because, you know, Brian Daboll is a very assertive, strong-minded person. Yep. So I'm looking forward to seeing the relationship even between he and Cam Ward. Because, you know, he admitted, he said, you know, I admit I could get upset sometimes. And it's going to be cool seeing that process work. How do you think the personalities are going to mix?
I mean, I think it's going to work. But see, here's the thing. You can have a different personalities, but at the beginning of the season, in your mind, or you come together as a group and say, we're family and we have to make it work, we can say all those things, but it has to be intentional. If it's not intentional, it's not going to work. So it's got to be intentional that I'm putting the team first as opposed to my thoughts first. What's going to be better for the team? And if you don't make it intentional, it's not going to work. Because now when you get into a situation where it's crunch time, you're going to say, oh, it's my way or the highway. Then all of a sudden people ain't going to like each other. But it's got to be intentional to say, you know what, even though I may like a certain technique, what's better for the team? And that's how you got to make this thing work.
If you go back to year two, right, with Cam Ward, with Stephen McNair.
Yes.
How did you see the coaching staff? Like, what was that interaction like to get? And I know he didn't necessarily start in year two, but you saw him get acclimated to becoming the starter, how did you see them kind of relate to him and try to figure out ways to make the system work around it?
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is you got to, and this is, I'm not disrespecting the coach, but that coaching staff at that time, they were not on one accord. So how are you expecting a quarterback to believe in a system and believe in a team when y'all ain't even on one accord? But once you get the right coach in there, and the right coach was Les Steckel. Les Steckel sat down, connected with him, then corrected with him, but then found out what it was. And even though, you know, Steve McNair was a guy who loves to compete and wanted to, you know, be the all-time hero, he submitted to his offensive coordinator and say, okay, you know what? Yes, I want to play hero ball, but if a check down's there, I'm going to let that happen. And that's why Stephen there became great and then later on won the MVP, because he was coachable. He was willing to listen, even though he was like, sometimes I want to make the big play, but I'm going to just settle down and let the play come to me. That's why he became successful.
That sounds an awful lot like what the Titans are looking to get Cam Ward to do, right?
Yeah.
Now play hero ball, take the check down. But the balance to that, as Brian Callahan said, you don't want to take away the stinger.
Exactly.
So in your mind, how do you think they're going to be able to balance that out, right, to get him to play, quote-unquote, safe football, but also to take the shots?
But see, here's the thing. You said a key word. Don't take the stinger away. I just got a visual picture of a bee. That even though a bee loses his stinger, it doesn't stop becoming a bee.
Hmm.
It does. Listen, check this out. It doesn't stop producing honey.
Hmm.
But see, because why? That's his nature. So even though you don't have to play hero ball, your nature and your skill set is going to come to fruition. Why? Because that's what you did before at my University of Miami. It's just going to come to fruition. Yeah, you're playing in the compounds of what the system allows you. But when the game's on the line, when it's time to make a big play and you got to scramble, you got to make the big throw. It's just like that beat. He makes honey. I make the play.
Man, I love that. That's an awesome analogy. And it's hey, listen, that's next level right there. I appreciate that.
That's it, man. You don't change the bee, even though the bee loses its stinger, it doesn't stop producing honey.
Yeah. Hey, listen, that's what I'm talking about right there. When you look at this, how soon in the process? Because obviously, there are rules, right? There's only so much contact that they could have, but how early in the process and how much of it do you think Dable has to kind of turn over to Cam and say, hey, look, this is your offense?
Yeah. I think from day one, he needs to tell Cam, this is your offense. But just like, you know, a baby taking steps, he's got to take one step at a time and don't put the whole steak in your mouth. You got to cut it up by piece by piece, by piece by piece, you know, later on to get better. So I just think that, you know, don't just throw the whole book at him. Just let him be confident of what he knows. Now, even if you simplified, okay, this is the formation. This is what I want. This is what I expect. And let him take ownership of that part of the offense. Then later on, start building them. So I just think that if you handle it in that way, I think you can definitely be successful.
Couldn't have said it better right there, man. That's a good note. We'll end it on that note and pick it back up next week at the combine. So we'll definitely have to have a conversation about that. So, yeah, man, appreciate you. You're popping on.
Brother.
Always bring the heat.
Can I say something? I'm not going to joke. I always joke. But let me tell you something. There's some great beat writers in the country. There's some great dudes in the country that are really, really good. But let me take – I know the grind gets hard sometimes, and I know sometimes you don't feel appreciated and be like, oh, I just got a story. But let me tell you, big dog, you one of the best beat writers that I've ever been around.
Man, I appreciate
like the content,
that.
The Whiteboard Wednesdays, all the stuff that you bring that a lot of people don't know that I'd be like, dang, that's fire right there. So even though the grind gets tired, I'm like, I'm tired. It's a dreary day. Keep grinding. Keep doing what you're doing because you're one of the best beat writers in this game, hands down.
My man, I appreciate you, man. Check is in the mail.
Brother. Give me $5. That's all I
need. Let me borrow $20 till tomorrow.
Peace out, my brother.
This is Jefferson. I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Man, we went heavy, heavy, heavy on Brian Daboll, but there was another coordinator speaking, and that was obviously Gus Bradley, and he's a guy that came into the picture once the 49ers hired Raheem Morris. Shout out to Raheem Morris, you know, getting a solid job like that. I appreciate the opportunity for him. But nevertheless, Gus Bradley is now the Titans defensive coordinator. He's getting to work with someone that he's worked with for quite some time. I think when you look at Bradley and his place, again, as we talked about with Robert Daboll, another head coach in the building, right? And it's very obvious that Saleh has gone to experience. He was really big on experience. I think in this case, familiarity. These guys have worked together dating back to the Legion of Boom days, right? Yeah. You know, when Saleh was a defensive assistant with the Seahawks. So clearly there's a similarity as far as philosophies are concerned. And he when you look at Bradley, and he talked about his role on game day and just throughout the week, and he said that, you know, there's no ego involved, right? And he wants to be valued in the organization, of course. But he said that where he is right now is just looking at the scheme. He loves all parts of it. And he has a lot of trust in Robert Saleh. And I get that because trust is built over time, right? And these guys have a lot of time together, a lot of time on task together also. You look, they're fresh off of last year. And it's cool to see a guy come in and say, hey, look, I understand I'm not necessarily calling the shots, but I'm going to do everything I can to help put this game plan together and make it a successful one.
Yeah, and I think you kind of look at this staff from top to bottom, the theme is experience. You just kind of talked about it. But to me, I look at this staff as maybe as a collective unit of a head coach. Obviously, Robert Saleh is your head coach. We know that. But you need a head coach of the offense. That's Brian Daboll. You need someone to assist Robert Saleh in defensive calling. That's Gus Bradley. So I am curious to see the hierarchy there. Maybe not hierarchy is not the word because we know what that is. But chemistry.
Interaction, yeah.
Chemistry is what I'm looking for. I'm curious to see, okay, if no one overshadows the other than Robert Saleh being the head coach, how does play calling look? How does the team chemistry, both for the players and the coaching staff, look on a day-to-day basis? Yeah. And then once they hit the field, does that work? Is that a successful formula for winning?
Yeah, and here's the thing that I like about that. This relationship is just being poured over from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been on the headsets, right?
Yeah.
So that whole organization, the interaction has been established already. I just want to see how, because now you got to factor in, okay, it's third and 10. We got to have special teams ready, punt return team ready. You know what I mean? And the things you got to factor. Oh, shoot, he just caught that ball. He got an elbow down. Do I want to challenge it? You know what I mean? Like those types of things, that's going to be the difference in how the headset is going to work, because there's other things that Saleh has to consider. But one of the other things that stood out to me was how Bradley said Saleh has grown, right? And I think you look at it, it's almost like he said it without saying it, but how he came into his own and started to be a very energetic coach, a very enthusiastic coach, a guy whose energy rubs off on the players. And he said that the thing that he really likes is how he's a big picture guy. And he said, you know, as far as explaining, hey, this is how I see it. And he talked about trying to stay a step or two ahead of the game. And he said that's really cool about him. So, look, man, when you look at this, I believe that that's a relationship that's going to work, but you got to find the right players. And obviously the biggest right now is figuring out that edge position.
Yep.
Number four, free agency, you know, that's going to be the thing. But Bradley spoke a little bit about what he sees in the edge as far as like how the defensive end and the edge, like how they work. Here's what he had to say about
that. You know
what?
I think that just talking general terms, you know, I think that one end is maybe an end on first and second down and then might have the ability to slide inside on third down, where the other end is maybe a true rusher. You know, he's on the end, first or edge, first and second down and third down as well.
Hand in the dirt most of the time?
You know, that's what we're looking at, all those things right now. What's the best for our personnel? And, you know, we're in the beginning stages of just looking at that big picture.
So clearly there's two different ways that they're going to look at the defensive end position. Now, he didn't get into specifics as far as height, weight, speed, et cetera. But one thing that does stand out to me, you go back to his Seattle days. I remember Seattle used a first-round pick on Bruce Irvin out of West Virginia. And everybody's like, what the heck are they doing? Bruce Irvin ended up being a darn good pass rusher. Now, he wasn't able to do too much else with the same impact. But one thing that Joker was able to do was rush the passer. And David Bailey reminds me of that. And I wish we'd have gotten like some off to the side talk with Bradley, because I wanted to bring that up and see what he thought. But look, there's clearly different styles of defensive ends. And I think when you look at Ruben Bain, you look at David Bailey, you look at Vril Reese, those are all, they're three different types of defensive end slash edge guys. So that's going to be something to watch. At the end of the day, as Bradley said, any defensive coach, what they're going to do, they're going to want to be able to get home with four. So whatever they do, you got to see how they could get home at four to get the seven in coverage. I thought it was also interesting how he admitted that, you know, there was an adjustment that had to be made from that cover three type of scheme, and they had to kind of tweak it as offenses. They made an adjustment to it because it was giving them fits, so then they had to adjust to the adjustment. So that's something to continue to watch, just how that secondary play works out. He, again, didn't give any specifics as far as, like, how they look at the particular ways to evaluate, and it's still early again. But the other thing that stood out is the defense, right, what he wants it to be known. And it's clear, you know, he and Sal are on the same page. He said the pitcher is a fast and violent defense, you know, and he said you're not going to see 45 different coverages, 50 blitzes. They just want to play fast and violent, and they want to be able to get after the quarterback, and that's important, right? And so
yeah,
we'll see how this energy shows. So far, so good. And obviously, press conferences, they don't necessarily win you games. But it does give some reason for optimism for Titans fans. So definitely continue to see how this process plays out. We got the draft, or rather the combine, next week. And, man, before you know it, it's going to be time for the draft series and then the draft itself. This calendar just continues to go. It doesn't stop one bit. And we're not going to stop. We're going to keep going, man. So I appreciate each of you for tuning in. Make sure you check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, everywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.